There are many implications of the fact that Christians are a kingdom of priests. Some of these have to do with the ways we relate to and serve other human beings. And others have to do with ministering to God Himself, even in His heavenly temple. But how can mere creatures provide any benefit to our infinite, self-sufficient, omnipotent God? How do Christians minister to God in His heavenly temple?
One of the most important things to know about the Bible's view of human beings is this: human beings were made to serve or to minister to God. I know we talk a lot about serving each other and ministering to each other, but from the beginning all the way to the end, the primary purpose of human beings is to minister or serve God. You can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, where God said about Adam in the garden that he was to work it and to take care of it. To work it and to take care of it was language that's used in the book of Numbers to refer to what priests and Levites do within the tabernacle. And so from the very beginning, when God put humanity in His temple garden, the Garden of Eden, He commanded them to function as priests, in fact, royal priests. And as you go through the Bible, you discover that that's always been the case, that this is always the ideal for human beings, but that in the Old Testament, and then all the way up until the second coming of Christ, this activity takes place in relatively small areas, small pieces here and there. I mean, for example, it started off with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, which was just one little piece of the earth. You go on with Israel when they established the tabernacle and they established the temple in Jerusalem. Still, the ministering and serving of God by priests is something that takes place in a holy place or a sanctified place. But nevertheless, this is what human beings were supposed to do. It's why they were designed, why they were put on the planet. But the picture of the new world, when God has sanctified the entire earth and made it all His temple, made it all His holy presence, then this is going to be the job, a priestly job, a royal priestly job, for every single human being that lives in that new world. You know, God told Israel in Exodus chapter 19 that God had chosen them to be a royal priesthood, an imperial priesthood, as it were. And that language in Exodus chapter 19 is used by Peter in the New Testament to refer to the church. And so this is the perspective that we're to have not only on ancient Israel as a whole, but also on Christians as a whole, that we are a royal priesthood, a chosen people, a royal imperial priesthood. Now, I know in many respects that sounds strange, but because when we think of priests, what we normally think of is that priests do just a very limited number of things. They offer sacrifices, they pray, occasionally they sing, maybe they blow trumpets and are in choirs and things like that. But in reality, what the Bible is saying is that every legitimate God-ordained activity on the earth from the beginning to the end has been an act of royal priesthood for those who serve God. And they do it in limited ways in the Old Testament, and even in the life of Jesus and in the Christian church today, but in the end, all of it will be such. And in fact, the Bible portrays the creation in many respects, many places, as if it is God's temple. And if you can imagine it, God's throne, Isaiah says, is in heaven, and His footstool is on the earth. And around His footstool, of course, this is talking about the Ark of the Covenant, around His footstool is a holy place where the high priest and the Levites, the special priest of the nation of Israel, serve Him. And they do this by decorating. They do this by making sure sacrifices are ready, that plants are grown in the right way, that it's a beautiful place, a wondrous place for God's environment, and keeping evil and unclean things out. This is the kinds of things they do. So all of their activity is like that. But the Bible says that the whole floor of the earth, the whole earth is the floor of God's temple. And what God is doing is He's spreading out His influence, spreading out His holiness from that one little spot, the Garden of Eden in the beginning, later on the tabernacle as it moved, but then finally the temple as it was established. He's now moving out and cleaning the whole floor of His great palace, which is the earth. And this takes place through Israel to some extent. Of course, they failed and misery came from that. And Christ comes, and now He has set us on this task of cleaning the entire floor. And the way we do that is by serving God in every single area of life as an act of worship to Him. It's not as if we have just some things that we do that are ministries to God, service of worship to Him, and then other things that we do for ourselves or for no good reason at all. Rather, every single thing that we do as Christians is to be done heartily as unto the Lord, because it is unto the Lord. Whether it's your 6 days of work, whether it's sleeping, whether it's raising your children, whatever it is an activity of a royal priest, because our job is to move the holiness of God throughout the world in anticipation of the new world to come, when everyone who has left will live in this wondrously cleaned, holy, sanctified earth, and they will serve God forever as His royal priests.
It may seem strange to talk about ministering to God or blessing God when we realize that He's independent, He has no unmet needs, He's completely self-sufficient. But in His relationship with us, we can bring Him joy in the way we obey Him or worship Him or live out our faithfulness. And so daily faithfulness, daily obedience, and worship of God actually blesses God and brings delight to His heart. And that's really the primary motivation for living as a Christian. It's not so we don't have bad things happen to us or that God will get mad at us, but that we are able to bring delight to the heart of our Creator in the way we live.
What we see in the ministry of Christians on the earth, in their worship and in their witness in society, is bringing honor and acclamation to the true King, to the true Creator, the true Savior, who has brought blessings to our cities and to our lives, and honoring Him with their life, not only with their worship, but with their witness and with their wealth, and the ways that they would benefit the city themselves, to bring this sort of honor to Jesus as the Lord, the Kurios, instead of falsely attributing it to others, is to bring Him true honor as the one who has created us and who has redeemed us.
The activities of Christians this side of heaven, minister to God in His temple, in the reality of heaven, I think in some unique ways. The first thing is, it's a beautiful thing as a Christian to realize there's not our dualism in our theology, that what we do on earth is directly connected to that which is spiritual, that which is heavenly. We can't see that world yet. We don't know it like we will know it someday, but it's no less real. So the way we live, the way we act, is a profound statement about our view of reality, that what is not seen is in many ways more real than what we do see. In fact, it is the most real. So our worship life, obedience to the Lord's commandments, doing what we know is right from the Scripture, is not something that we're doing to earn His love. It's a response to His grace that is pouring over our lives at every point. So everything we do ought to be seen as ministry unto God and connected to that reality. And for many Christians, including myself, it's a difficult thing because we live in time. We don't understand an eternal reality. And so we think about days and weeks and months and don't connect that to the future. Whereas the Christian doctrine of hope connects everything we do with the future. So that in a sense, and it's hard to comprehend, the future is already present in Christ. He's already offered to us the future. We're going to access that more and more realistically as we move into the eschaton, the last things. But right now, we can live in the reality of that beauty. So it produces a massive amount of hope in the Christian life and joy and peace, because His victory can be known to us in the now. We'll experience it more fully one day, but it makes a difference in everything we do in the present.